Ellen's Story. Workbook, page 17. Worksheet 7.
Ellen was born in 1826 in the household of a wealthy slave owner who was one of the founders of the city of Macon, Georgia. Ellen's mother was one of this man's slaves. Slaves were the property of their owners, who could do whatever they wanted to with them. Set them to work in the house or in the fields, feed them or starve them, punish them, sell them, or even have them killed. Sometimes a master found a slave woman attractive and might secretly treat her as if she were his wife. But if she bore a child, according to the law, the child was a slave, following the condition of the slave mother, not that of the free father. So it was with Ellen. Her father was her mother's owner, and Ellen, who resembled her father, was to all appearances white. But she was a slave. Her mother loved her dearly, but her master paid no more attention to her than to any other slave child, and his wife, Ellen's mistress, always treated her harshly. Although Ellen was a pretty, polite, and bright child, nothing she could say or do pleased her mistress. Ellen did not realize that her very presence offended her mistress because she was the child of her husband and a slave woman. No matter how hard little Ellen tried to be helpful, dusting while her mother cleaned house, setting the table, sewing neatly with the finest of stitches, she was sure to get scoldings, slaps, and often a box on the ear from her mistress. When Ellen cried or complained, her mother would remind her how well off she was compared to the other slave children on the plantation. Because her mother worked in the house, Ellen always had enough to eat. Rich folks left enough on their plates to feed a family. Ellen knew that slaves who were not house servants often had only one meal a day, and that was likely to be just a cake made of cornmeal or a potato. Ellen's work helping her mother was easy. Most slave children worked from sun up to sundown in the fields with their mothers. A 4-year-old child would often have to sit all day at the edge of the field taking care of a baby brother or sister not permitted to stir from the spot. If the mother carried her baby on her back while she worked, her other children, as soon as they could walk, worked at the mother's side. Sometimes slaves worked knee-deep in water and mud in the marshy rice fields. Ellen knew that her punishments were mild compared to the floggings that women and children, as well as men, got from the overseers. Yet Ellen wished that just once something she did would please her harsh mistress. "Nothing matters, honey, as long as we are together," her mother would console her. "Just so you are not sold away from me." It was not kindness or consideration for either Ellen or her mother that had prevented Ellen's mistress from selling one or both of them years before. She knew that her husband would never have permitted it. One day when Ellen was 11 years old, a visitor to the house said to Ellen's mistress, "Oh, what a pretty little daughter you have." "She's not my daughter. She's a slave," her mistress snapped. This was the last straw. But this time, she could do something about it. Her daughter Eliza was to be married. Surely the father of the bride could not object to giving his daughter the little slave as a wedding present. Eliza was married to Dr. Robert Collins in 1837, and 11-year-old Ellen became the slave of Mrs. Collins. Although she was very sad at parting with her mother, Ellen was glad to leave the household of her tyrannical mistress. Ellen's new master was a very wealthy man. As owner of the Monroe and Bibb Railroad and Banking Company, he had built the railroad from Macon to Oconee and brought the first telegraph lines into Macon. He owned 10,000 acres of farmland and 62 slaves. Ellen was taken to live on College Hill in a mansion set among trees in the midst of 4 acres of gardens. The estate was opposite Wesleyan College, which Dr. Collins had helped to found. Ellen's new mistress was always kind to her, and she grew up in the beautiful house as her mistress's personal maid. But Ellen could not be happy. She missed her mother and her friends. She thought it was unfair that her old mistress had been able to give her away as a present, as if she were a thing, not a person. She could not forget the harsh lives of other slaves. She vowed she would never marry and have children, because her children could never be hers. They would always belong to her owner, and could be torn from her just as she had been taken away from her mother. They could even be sold away from her. Ellen's life was like a candy-coated pill. Outwardly, it was pleasant, but she could never forget the bitter core of slavery.